think it just needs to have the record button hit, right? We're striking out on those recordings so far today. I had forgotten my recorder over there, and I went through all the effort of bringing one over, and then after I did the whole lesson, I forgot to turn the microphone on it, so for absolutely no reason at all, we recorded nothing for 34 minutes over there. So anyway, it's crazy. All right, Jonah chapter 4. If you have that, we'll stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word. This should probably be the only time we look up some Bible verses today, just 11 verses here. I'm going to read them to you, just the end cap of the story of the book of Jonah, basically. But starting in verse 1, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore," verse 3 now, "therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live." Wow. Notice verse 4 then. "Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry?" That'll be the title of our sermon this morning. Dost thou well to be angry? Verse 5. "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad because of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Verse 11, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city whereon are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" He's talking about children there. They cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. Notice verse 9. This will be our text verse. "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the cord? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death." And this morning we're going to talk about, doest thou well to be angry? Let's pray, and you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful this morning, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. We're thankful this morning for the Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us now. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In a faraway village was a young man who was physically challenged. This young man spent his days gathering scraps of food. The village people would scoff at this young man because they thought that he was running down their village by his presence or with his presence there. So they voted that he could not come anymore during the daylight hours and gather any scraps. He'd have to come at night. One day the young man died a sudden death. To the relief of the villagers, he would no longer be bothering them. When they went to where this young man lived, they found out that this young man was not gathering the scraps for himself, but he was gathering the scraps for the elderly who had no one to care for them. He was ashamed of himself. Or they were ashamed of themselves, rather, the village people, because they realized that they were more interested in their city looking good than they were for a person who was interested in helping some people who needed some help. That's an interesting story. I think the story of Jonah and the gourds somewhat similar to that story. Jonah had finished the day warning the people of Nineveh about the coming judgment of God. Then after he preached what God told him to preach, took him a little while to get there, amen. We'll not get into all that story, but as you know, he didn't want to go there. God kind of had to help him along a little bit to get there. But he went outside the city after he spent the day preaching, and he waited for that destruction of that city to come. You see, Jonah hated those people in Nineveh. He didn't like the Assyrian people overall. He didn't like them. His hopes was that God would utterly destroy the city of Nineveh to obliteration. To his dismay, the inhabitants of the city, though, they heeded his preaching. And he preached a great revival that day. I mean, there isn't many that can say they preached a revival and the entire city got saved. Especially a city of that size. It was a very large city. He was upset, though, that God didn't destroy it. He was disappointed that the people got right with God. And because of their getting right with God, guess what happened? God spared the city from destruction. God saved the city. He wasn't going to destroy it any longer. So Jonah, upset with God, went outside and sat outside the city, pouting, if you will. God decides to prepare a gourd for him. That gourd grew up and provided some shade over his head to shade him from the hot sun that would beat all afternoon long there, keep him out from the sunlight. However, the next day, God, the Bible says, prepared a worm. So on purpose, God destroyed the gourd. Came in a night, and he destroyed it in a night. So the gourd died. God asked Jonah then, because Jonah was upset about the gourd, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" Jonah was more concerned over the gourd than he was over the souls of the men and women that lived in that city. He didn't care about Nineveh. How sad. How sad that material things meant more to him and were more important to him than the souls of people. Christian, are you more concerned over material things than you are for people? It's amazing how parents get so upset with children because they'll break something of value by accident in their home. But they never have any emotion when somebody dies and goes to hell. It's sad that the Christians are more wrapped up in their valuables than they are with people who need somebody to care about them and be concerned about them. Let me ask you this morning, are you more concerned with things or with people? Are you more concerned with possessions and things of value? Or are you more concerned about the souls of men and women? All around us are people who need someone to care about them. Yet too many Christians are wrapped up with what kind of vehicle they can own, what kind of clothing they can possess, what type of a house they can have, and what type of activities that they can be involved with, more than they are about people. I'm not saying that those things are all bad, but people need somebody to care about them. Remember what David said, don't turn to it, but Psalms 142:4, he said, "I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Would David have said this if he lived in the area of our church here? I hope not. I hope not. Number one this morning, let me give you a couple things about this. Number one, God wants us to care for the souls of men in Lincoln. God wants us to care for the souls of men in Lincoln. In other words, men and women, people. He wants us to care for the souls of men in Lincoln. We, as Christians this morning, folks, were meant to live for somebody else. Amen. It's true. You weren't meant to live for yourself.
You're a Christian. You're born again. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You're meant to live for somebody else, not yourself. We're meant to give out gospel tracts. We're meant to go soul winning in the streets. We're meant to run a bus route on Sunday and bring little boys and girls to church that wouldn't maybe have a ride otherwise. We're meant to visit them on Saturdays and tell their parents about Christ if they don't know Him. We're meant to teach a Sunday school class. We're meant to help influence boys and girls for Jesus. We're meant to pray for those students. We're meant to help clothe the naked. We're meant to help feed the poor. We're meant to put shoes on some little bus kid that might not have any that are decent. We're meant to live in the mountains and not down in the flatland like everybody else. We're meant to be somebody who lives for somebody else. That's what we as a Christian are meant to be. We as Christians are too busy living for the gourd. We were not meant to be so wrapped up in things. We were not meant to stay home and watch television instead of going to church. We were not meant to be spending our time and offering money on HBO and Sin to the Max and everything else you can come up with to put across that stinking rock box you got at home. We were not meant to go camping on Sundays instead of the church. Amen. We were not meant to spend all of our time and effort on the things, or in other words, the gourd. Jonah got wrapped up in the gourd. He was more concerned with pleasure than people. He was more concerned about the moment than he was the future. He was more concerned about the temporal than the eternal. Lincoln's full of people that need Christ this morning. It's full of them. Full of them. Full of them. Let us as church members get more concerned about the people than the pleasure of our lives. When you get more concerned about your own pleasure and comfort, you will sacrifice the spiritual for the temporal. You'll exchange dollars for soul winning. You'll exchange a career for going to church on Sunday. You'll put your family before God when you shouldn't be putting anything before God. Not anything. That includes your family. Family's always second to God. Always. 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 We get that mixed up. We need to get involved with soul winning if we aren't. We need to quit skipping soul winning night. We need to quit skipping follow-up time on Saturdays. We need to get busy for God by caring for the souls of men. Quit getting angry because it rains on Sunday and you can't go fishing when you ought to be in church anyway, bless God. Number two. You don't like number one, so you probably won't like number two either. God wants us to care for the souls of I say sometimes, well, you don't like the preaching, go somewhere else. And then Thursday night, Blaze and Brother Geyser were out soul winning. They knocked on the door, and this woman said, well, I went to that church before, and he said, if you don't like the preaching, go somewhere, just leave. And she said, so I left. Amen. I just thought about that. When I said, if you didn't like number one, you probably like number two. I said, yeah, I do say that sometimes. I guess you took it literal. So, number two, God wants us to care for souls of men in the regions beyond. God wants us to care for the souls of men in the regions beyond. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:16 to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. That means beyond your reach. Beyond your reach. Lincoln Baptist Church can only reach so far. That's why we have faith promise giving, amen? Because that way we can reach to the regions beyond Lincoln Baptist Church. But you got to ask yourself this question this morning. Do I really care about somebody who lives somewhere else? You should. But do I? Not only are we to care about the people in our city, but we're to care about people that live somewhere else, people we don't even know. People we can't even see. But you know what? We ought to have one of the best mission-giving churches around here. We got half our churches, people from other parts of the world. If you don't care about somebody from somewhere else, who would? Bless God. You used to live somewhere else, half of you. You ought to care. You ought to be concerned. Amen. Praise God, somebody cared about you once. That's how come you're in church. Somebody somewhere did. Apparently. I mean, that's why you're in church. Most people don't just come to church on their own one day, wake up after hearing nothing about Jesus or anything, say, well, I think I'll go to church today. No, somebody influenced you to get you to go to church. Somebody cared about you. Amen. We've got to care about others. Amen. We've got to. You've got to care. You've got to care. Jonah's problem, here's his true problem. He cared about his own people. He didn't care about the Assyrians. You got to realize one thing, if you know anything about the life of Jonah, he was a preacher. He was a man of God. He preached great revivals in other places, particularly to his own people, but to other places. But he didn't want to preach to the Assyrians. He didn't want to be a missionary going to Nineveh, of all places. That's the land of the Assyrians. That's up north, north of Syria, modern-day Syria area today, that area up there. I don't want to go up there to those people. We hate those people. We don't like those people. We hate them. We don't care about them. We don't want to go reach them. And so that was his problem. He didn't care about the Assyrians. Preached great revivals, but God makes him go to Nineveh and preach, and it's a great revival, but he's not happy. He doesn't care about them. There was no excuse not to care. Here's the thing. I suspect this. He knew the Bible and he knew prophecy. And he knew that one day the Assyrians would enslave the Israelites and they'd treat them like dogs. And he knew that was going to come down the road one day, and because he knew the Bible was true and the things that God had revealed anyway, the parts of the Bible that did have, he said, boy, I don't like those people. They're going to enslave us one day. I don't care about them. Destroy them, God. Let them go to hell. We don't care about them. So he didn't want to go to Nineveh. So God, by the help of a whale, amen, helped him get there, amen. So he got there. And he went ahead and preached after God made it very clear to him, after spending, amen, a little time in the whale's belly, in those stomach acids, and God told him, hey, that's a little bit what hell's going to feel like, the way you felt like burning in that stomach of that fish, amen. You better go. And he got there, amen. And that was a big city. You know, it was 3 days. Sometimes preachers turn that around. They say it was 3 days' journey from where he was at, and he got there in a day, you know. It was a city that was three, if you read it closely, it was a city that was 3 days' journeys across. It took 3 days on foot to walk from one end of the city to the other. It's a whole lot bigger than Lincoln. That's a big city. That's a big city. But he got in there in the middle of the thing, and what did he do? He started, about a day's journey in, amen, he started preaching, amen. And he preached what God told him to preach, and guess what happened? Revival broke out. Well, I tell you what, revival broke out and he wasn't happy. He's preaching the greatest revival ever known to man and he's not happy. I mean, any preacher who's a preacher, man, they go someplace and preach and, man, everybody comes forward and gets saved. Everybody falls out and says, man, I got to get right with God, man. I tell you what, we're going to hit the prayer altar at. Man, any preacher do that, he'd be delighted. Wow, that's great. Not him. Oh, great, they're all coming to get saved. Oh, great, the prostitutes are getting saved. Oh, great, the mayor's getting saved. Oh, great, the policemen and the firemen are all getting saved. Great, this is just great. Yeah, this is exciting. He's not excited at all because he was looking forward to going outside that city after he preached and watching God rain down some hellfire and brimstone on that place and destroy it. They're all getting right with God, though. And so God says, hey, they all got right with me. They're heeding the message of warning. I'm not going to have to destroy him. He gets upset. He goes outside the city. He don't want to be a missionary. He don't want to be a missionary to Nineveh of all places. He didn't like them. He didn't care. Listen, we won't give to missions this next year because we'll say we can't afford it. But wait a minute. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were in deep poverty and they gave liberally for the cause of Christ to help others get saved. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, the Bible says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Paul the missionary said, listen, these folks gave to us of their deep poverty liberally what they did have. Because they didn't have much and they were in deep poverty, but they weren't too poor to give. People say all the time, well, too poor to give. No, you're too selfish to give. That's the problem. Amen. You're too selfish to give. Is anyone really too poor to give something? No, not really. Everybody can give something. It may not be as much as somebody else, but everybody can give something. It's because you spend it all on the gourd. That's why people say that. You spend it on old cable bills. Yeah. You spend it on camping trips. You spend it on entertainments. And it may not be evil or wicked things necessarily, but you spend it on something else. And you say, well, I'm sorry, God, I just don't have anything left for you because I'm too poor. Listen, we need to care about the regions beyond us. We need to care about our city around us also. Number three, let me give you a third thing. God wants us to care for the well-being of fellow Christians. God wants us to care for the well-being of fellow Christians. As David said, no one cared for his soul. Let that not be us this morning. Let that not be us. We should pray for fellow church members. We should pray for our missionaries. We should pray for a man like Kelly Daniel, who used to be a missionary that we used to support here to Costa Rica, who had a baby that had tremendous health problems. He had to come off the field and had to move to a city like Dallas so he could be close to a child medical center so his child could get there regularly for treatments that they had to have, special treatments, medical treatments. And now his wife has leukemia and she's not doing well to the treatments and she's in ICU and will probably be dead in the next couple of weeks. And they have 4 children from ages 4 to 9 in their household. And most of us hear about that, and I'll be honest with you, we could probably care less. Oh yeah, that's too bad. So I don't know them. Well, some of you should from years ago when we supported them. And I admit a lot of you probably don't. But he's a man of God. But also he's just a person. That's a believer in Christ that used to spread the gospel. He still spreads the gospel. He just doesn't do it as a missionary now to a foreign land. But we should care about him. We should be concerned about him. When preacher's gotten up a couple of times here in the last couple of weeks and I've said, hey, you ought to be praying for him. You ought to be concerned about him. I just wonder, and I wouldn't want anybody to raise their hands, but do you really care that you pray for them actually, outside of church, that you're concerned for their family? Their spirit in this whole thing, I've been under the understanding, has been just wonderful. Just wonderful, because that's how they are. They're good Christians. But imagine if that was you. Imagine if you were not only the wife who's in jeopardy, but if you were the husband who's looking at the prospect at, what is he, like 32 years old? Of having his 32-year-old wife die and go to heaven, and he's got 4 kids from ages 4 to 9. And he'll have to take care of them. Oh, and by the way, they have absolutely zero health insurance for all of these medical bills that will pile up. Zero health insurance. Do you care about somebody else besides just yourself? We got to all ask ourselves that question. Do we really care about somebody else? Not just the lost. We need to care about them. Not just those that are lost in the regions beyond. But even people, even in our own church, or people that are believers in Christ, that have pains and heartaches, and they need somebody to care about them. They need somebody to be concerned about them. Do you care? We should pray for them. We get angry because of the gourd. But we don't care about the people sometimes. Does anyone care? We should pray for backsliders. Get angry at sin, but not the sinner. Prayer for their return is what we should give, and don't rejoice in their fall. Let us care about them more than the gourd this morning. We remind you that all around you are people who need you to care. As you go throughout your day, you will come across the path of people who need to get saved. You will come across the path of who need someone to listen to their broken heart. You will come across the path of someone who just simply needs someone to show interest in them. Don't be so wrapped up in things that you forget that life is truly about what you can do for others a whole lot more than it is about what you can do for yourself. Let the importance of your things take second place to the needs of others. Let your eyes be open and your ears alert to the needs of those around you. Let your daily life be filled with caring for the needs of others. Let's stand to our feet. Doest thou well to be angry, God said? Doest thou well to be angry? Heads bowed, eyes closed.